I see it by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Old Testament. Sacrificial system. This is how my Father sent me, saith the Lord. He sent me, appointed me, anointed me to set the captive free. And even as my Father sent me, so send I you, saith the Lord. In my name, he said, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, you will tread on serpents and you will cast out devils. Can you say amen? In my name. We've relegated this to highly anointed evangelists with supernatural special gifts. This is not just for, they never stayed on the field. They wound down every revival that a man or woman was at the center of it came to naught. It never continued. It wasn't consistent. Some of them even messed up in their latter years because they thought they were the key to it all. But the mighty Welsh revival was not based on a man or a woman in the initiating of it. It was something that God did sovereignly by His Spirit in answer to intercessory prayer. Welsh coal miners working 10-hour days, hard labor, fasted and prayed for a move of God and a move of the Spirit. And when the Spirit of the Lord hit the Hesperides Islands, it hit it like a mighty bolt of lightning out of heaven. People begin to cry out unto God. In one home where there were two sisters and a brother living, and they were interceding, and people, God began to move on people to pray for revival. And as they were interceding, the place wherein they were gathered began to shake. Teacups and a tea set began to rattle under the power of God. Is there a biblical precedent? Absolutely. In the book of Acts chapter 4, they were threatened for preaching the gospel. They were threatened when a lame man was healed and it made such headline news. And they were threatened not to preach or teach in Christ's name anymore. And the way they responded to that threat to the gospel, to it becoming a powerless, purposeless exercise in dead religion, that was the threat. If they quit preaching Jesus and Him crucified and raised from the dead, then the gospel was void of power to save, deliver, or set free. And Satan didn't care about theological seminaries and churches and steeples and clergymen and robed clergymen. He didn't care about that. There was one thing that deeply concerned him. So when they had threatened their very life, and the Bible said they would have killed them, Acts chapter 4, they would have killed them. But they feared the people because they could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought upon the lame man. What's a notable miracle? It's a miracle that science and medicine cannot explain away. The man was lame from his mother's womb. He had begged in that city all his life and he never had walked. It was a double miracle. Because if a man received the ability to walk that never had walked, even though he had strength in his legs, amen, he'd have to go through some therapy to get those muscles developed. And to he'd be like a baby had to learn to walk. But he didn't have to learn to walk. In fact, he got up and ran into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they could not deny that in the name of Jesus, a mighty miracle had occurred. So they threatened them and said, "Do not preach or teach in that name anymore." And the disciples came before the Lord. They came back and told the rest of them what had happened and said, "Lord, behold their threatenings." And then they talked about in Acts chapter 4 the sovereignty of God. Amen. They talked about the fact that all of these people have risen up against Jesus Christ. And they wanted to put him on the cross. What they were literally saying, if you read it and put it in a synopsis with this, amen, they all thought they had the power. But in fact, God was in control all of the time. Amen. The people that authorized him to be put on the cross didn't realize it, but they were falling right into the pattern that God wanted set, amen, for salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, and they said, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Look at what they're saying and doing." Has God ever shaken a building as he moves and stirs people and gets ready to pour out his spirit? Oh, he shook that building. These were spirit-filled men that were praying. And that the Bible said they prayed, "Lord, behold their threatenings and stretch forth your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders occur in the mighty name of Jesus." And when they had prayed that kind of bold prayer of faith, the place wherein they were gathered was shaken. They showed in the actual film the house where this occurred in, where they were praying. It wasn't just their prayers. It was the coal miners. It was these people praying because they realized we're having church, but our kids are lost. We're having church, but the world about us is going to hell in a handbasket. We're singing our songs. We're saying our psalms, but nothing is occurring that would indicate that God is listening. God is moving. Ancient Israel was at the apex of their religious worship. What they were doing in the temple was ordained of God, prescribed by God, and they were doing it to the letter. But now they were so satisfied with the practice of their religion, they were unconcerned that there was no evidence of the presence of God. Isaiah couldn't handle it. Isaiah couldn't take it anymore. Isaiah got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Can you say amen? Isaiah got tired of business as usual in the temple with no evidence of the power and presence of God in the culture about him. And Isaiah was stirred and he began to pray in Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. That you might come down on the mountains, and when you manifest your presence on the mountain would melt down to the waters, and when it melts to the waters, it would cause the waters to boil. Oh, that there was evidence of the manifest presence of power and person of God. We are so satisfied with business as usual. Business as usual at the church. You know what's going to happen in most churches? It's already happening. It's going to start and it's going to stop and it's going to be pinpoint. You know why? Because everybody, there's nothing to hold anybody there. I love what Sherry said. He said, "I was so glad that y'all were still having church. I'm so glad when I brought the kids in that God was already beginning to touch. They came in to an anointed afterglow. That God was moving on people and God was moving in this place. The Holy Spirit was touching people. I'm so glad for that." If you get satisfied with Bible teaching without God doing anything, that's all you're going to have is a truth, amen, that isn't verifiable.
verifiable. How do we know it's you? Because I said it. No. How do we know you're the Messiah? How do we know I announced you as the Messiah? This is too important. While John the Baptist was in jail, he sent his servant, said, go ask Jesus, is it really you or should we look for another? Jesus didn't just say, well, I said it. I said it, didn't I? That's what I said. No. He said, go tell him. Go tell him. Go tell him more than what I said. Go tell him what I did. Tell him the lame walk. Tell him the blind see. Tell him the deaf hear. And he'll know it's me. This gospel didn't come in word alone, but in power. Oh no, I'm not talking about mere Pentecostal emotionalism without the word. I'm talking about a God who confirms the word. Yeah. I'm not talking about believers following signs. I'm talking about signs following believers. Amen. These signs, these particular, peculiar signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. In my name, they'll cast out devils. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick. Who do you call? James 5:14. You call someone out of, where's the place is now? Tulsa, maybe? Do we try? Come on. Who do you call? Who are you going to call? Can you say amen? Who are you going to call? That you think that evangelist is going to leave that big crusade and fly down here to lay hands on the sick? Who are you going to call then? Amen. You call Jesus, absolutely. And you call the elders of the church. And let me tell you who the elders are. They're not the people with the appointed name tag, per se. They can be elders, and they can have a name tag. But elders are mature ones in the Scripture. Just like apostles are sent ones, not self-proclaimed ones. Can you say, man? Amen. Stretch forth your hand to do what? To heal. The primary, number one sign, amen, was the healing. Tell him the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the tongue of the dumb. There's a highway back in the old covenant called the highway of holiness. Amen. And the Bible said the deaf hear on that highway. Amen. The lame walk on and run on that highway. Can you say amen? Paul said, my gospel didn't come to you in to the letter to the church at Corinth. I got to slow down because I'll have to talk in tongues and have an interpreter finish it if I don't. I did not come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom, declaring unto you the gospel of God. My speech and my teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration, the very thing they were praying for, a demonstration. But in a demonstration, everybody say a demonstration. A demonstration of spirit and power. When someone gets truly convicted, God truly convicts them, draws them, amen, to himself, amen. In that mighty miracle, there's a demonstration of spirit and power occurring. I'm not talking about somebody shaking the preacher's hand, getting baptized in water, and staying bound by sin and still serving Satan. I'm talking about who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's the real deal. Can you say, man? It doesn't last through a Sunday and you go back into your prison cell of bondage on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, no. It's not being let out into the exercise yard for a little while and then back into your prison for the rest of the time. No, this is true deliverance. Jesus said how the Bible said when Peter preached to Cornelius' household, this is what he preached. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Even as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Amen. So what happened to this anointed, appointed church? Behold, Jesus said, I give you power. You, as a child of God, as a believer, behold, I give you power. Over how much of the enemy's? All of it. All of it. All of it. He anointed his apostles, sent them out. They were so shocked to see that it worked. They came back and said, guess what, Jesus? Demons are subject to us through your name. Jesus said, say what? The demons are subject to us through your name. Oh, hallelujah. It works. Of course it works. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's under my authority. And through my name, he's under your authority too. So don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. It's through my name that all of this has occurred. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Can you say amen? Oh, but don't just celebrate your salvation. Go out and take that authority that I've given you. Use that authority that I've given you. Can you say amen? I give you power. If I joined the Tampa Police Department or Hillsborough County, and I made the grade back when I was a young man in a galaxy far, far away in a time long, long ago. Sean's laughing way too loud. I've been where you are. One day you'll be where I am. And I will have the last laugh if I'm still around to laugh at you. I joined the police department. I couldn't do nothing until I was sworn in. Until I was an absolute officer of the law. And at the moment I was, I can use deadly force if it became necessary. I have the power to arrest and to handcuff because that power has been delegated to me. Amen. And I can use that power if I so choose. And if somebody's trying to kill you, I have the authority, amen, to step in. I have the authority to tell them to back off of you. I have the authority to pull my weapon and say, back off. I have the authority to pull that trigger. Amen. Listen to me. That's authority. Amen. I could walk out in the interstate right now and try to stop the traffic. I could walk out there and say, stop! And they will run over me. And after they're done running over me, say, that nut shouldn't have been out there in the first place. But if a highway patrol turns on his blinkers in his uniform, walks out and does that, semi-tractor trailers will be hitting the brakes. Why? Because that man can stop a semi? No. But because he has an authority behind him. You don't want to run over him. You don't want to not listen to him. If you get past him down the road, you're going to find out that it wasn't just him you were dealing with. The full force of the law will be brought to bear upon you. If you think you can outrun that authority, remember the song, I Fought the Law and the... Remember when you fought the law before you came to Jesus? Who won? The law won. They put you in. They locked you up. They made your pocket thin. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, you go by them and keep on going. Down the road, they'll set a trap for you. They'll puncture your tires. They'll shoot out your tires. Amen. If you head for one of them and they got the opportunity, they will shoot through the windshield and stop you. Amen. If you cross, amen, the state line to try to run away, they will notify the authorities over there. If you do some crime and cross the state line, the FBI will get on you. It's authority. It's authority. It's authority. It's about authority. Believers have authority. And the devil knows it. So just have your normal, usual exercise in religiosity. Don't use your authority. Just get your preacher so Bible trained that he knows it so good. He can be so eloquent. That's why Paul said, who knew it so good. You know what he said? When I came to you, I didn't come to you and declare the gospel with the enticing words of man's wisdom in 1 Corinthians. My speech and my teaching wasn't that way. I was with you in fear and much trembling. I was with you in fear. Fear of what? We're supposed to walk in faith. No, he said, when I get in the presence of God and I'm going to speak as an oracle of God, amen, it is serious business, and I am sincere about this serious business. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can you say amen? And she has to go early, so don't think that she's so convicted she had to run out the door. We've already arranged that. So when you get ready to go, you feel free. Hallelujah. I was with you in fear and much trembling. Amen. Listen, who did God say he was going to look to? That confident, strident, self-confident preacher that gets out there so full of knowledge that he can just be so eloquently accurate in the Word without the Holy Spirit, without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Something they can't teach you in Bible college is how to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Amen. Only God can do that. How to be spontaneous. How to do that scary thing like close your outline. Amen. Lay it aside some Sunday and see if God can do something with all the knowledge you have by His Spirit. Can you say amen? Dead religion is the great enemy of revival in America. Dead religion is the great enemy of revival in you and in me. I do not intend to pursue dead religion. I don't care how eloquent the speaker. I don't care how wonderful the choir. I don't care how beautiful the church. Amen. If God doesn't show up, there's nothing there for me. Amen. They said, Lord, we need you. You know what he told them? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. It's his mandate. It's called the Great Commission. But they were never told to do it in their own strength and ability. Never. And the Bible said they went everywhere. They went everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Oh, I hear it now. I can hear it now. The unbeliever seeketh a sign, and no sign shall be given it. This is not unbelievers demanding a sign. This is believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not because the unbeliever demands it, but because he deserves it. Demanded, it means I'm looking for a reason not to believe. There's people out there that don't know your God from the rest of them. Something has to distinguish him. Well, we got a Bible. They got a Koran. Everybody got a book that they say is the book. Everybody's got a truth they espouse that they say is the truth. But Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 The Bible said there was a place called Lystra in Acts chapter 14. And there Paul preached the gospel. See, the gospel now is powerless. It's truth, but it's without power. People walk down and shake a preacher's hand, get baptized in water and sign some church covenant and call it salvation. You can do all of that without the Holy Ghost. But my Bible says you can't even come to Jesus except my Father draw you. Something more than the preaching has to occur. God has to work with us. God has to touch the human heart. God has to open spiritually blinded eyes. Jesus said, amen, to get the captive set free, I have to open the eyes of the blind. Why is that threw into all of this liberating stuff? Because it wasn't about physical blindness. Every time the gospel is preached, spiritual warfare is waged. Make no mistake about it. There are powers at odds when the gospel is preached. Men who don't know how to wage spiritual warfare, amen, do not belong in pulpits because they'll never win the souls of men that are bound by sin and by Satan. Well, the power's in the Word. Not the Word only. It did not come in Word only. The Word can't produce fruit till it gets into the human heart. But when the seed falls in good ground, then it brings forth fruit. The target is not initially the mind. That's the gate, amen, to get to the heart. The target is not your intellect. I did not come to debate the gospel. I came to declare it. Amen. You can believe it or not believe it. You can take it. You can leave it. I did not come to debate the gospel. Jesus is Lord. I came to declare it. Jesus is the way. I came to declare it. I love the talk show host that asked that pointed question of a man who was man enough of God to answer the question. Don't you think it is arrogant of Jesus to say he's the only way to God? And without skipping a beat, this man on Larry King said, not if it's true. Amen. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man, and this is every world religion without exception but Christianity, if any man try to do what? Climb up to God some other way. He's the same as a thief and a robber. Why? Because it was Christ's blood that was shed for the remission of sins. It was his blood that God accepted. How do you know he accepted that blood sacrifice? Because he raised him from the dead. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something that sets him apart. Every leader of every world religion is graveyard dead. Muhammad, his remains are in Mecca, and believers make pilgrimages by the thousands to Mecca where the remains of Muhammad is. Buddha was cremated, his ashes threw into the Ganges River, and people to this day illegally to get better crops and to get him to answer their prayers will take a newborn baby and cast it into the river, amen, and offer a child sacrifice. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Remember when they questioned him about the power and the authority of Jesus' name? By what authority? Because the religious crowd couldn't handle God moving without coming through them. And they were so dead they didn't recognize Jesus when he came. Jesus called the most religious people of his day, covenant Jews. What did he call them? Whited sepulchers. Evangelistic, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. That means a converter to your faith. And when you do, he said, you make him twice the child. Boy, Jesus talked pretty plain, didn't he? Amen. Who in the world would hire him for their pulpit? Who would hire Jesus today? You talk that plain, you got your walking papers, son. We'll get us another one. And they do. And the preacher is not controlled by the Spirit of God. He's controlled by the purse strings, by the professional strings. He's going to lose his house, going to lose his car, going to have to uproot his kids from their school. Amen. Going to have to pack up everything and go begging some other church to let him preach. And when they let him and they vote him in, they're going to say, we've been praying and God sent us that man until he does one thing they don't like. And then all of a sudden God changed his mind. Got a man-run institution called the church. And you got religion without relationship. You got preaching without power. You got pastors that are closet alcoholics and porn addicts. The divorce rate among preachers rivals that of any pagan in the world. Christian leaders that can't lead by example. They can puff it out, but they can't show you anything. In Rome, the St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, years ago, as they were taking gold and silver, the richest church in the world is the Catholic Church. And a high-ranking cardinal was standing by a man who was a Protestant. You know what a Protestant is? A Protestant. Protesting things that are wrong. See, when things go wrong, somebody has to protest. A Protestant means that you have protested. You didn't just buy everything the church says. You got in the Bible, you found out what God says. Don't mean you hate people. Don't mean there's not some good people. It means you have to decide something about truth in your heart and in your life. For years it was in Latin. No one could understand the Bible but the people telling you what it meant. God never intended that. You know what Paul said? He said, I commend the Christians at Berea where I preached. Because they didn't just take it for my word's sake. They didn't even just take it because the power came with it alone. But it stimulated them to look into it deeper. Because they went home. They went home and searched the scripture. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, what did they have? They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Covenant. That's why when many of times Jesus would say something or do something, he'd say that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They went home and searched the scripture. Can you say amen? To see if the things that he was saying was true. God is never afraid to subject himself to the authority of scripture. Can you say amen? I want a biblical precedent for things. I want more than a feeling. I want more than what I see. I want some Bible for it. Can you say amen? I want some. Oh, come on. Amen. I'm not running after signs. I want the signs to run after me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That it might be fulfilled, which was already spoken. Paul said, you know, these people are serious about their faith. This is verifiable in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I meet with the Baptist pastor have for about 4.5 years. He doesn't understand tongues, but he doesn't question them because it's in the book. Hallelujah. He's a Bible believer. If he keeps on believing that book, he won't be questioning them any longer. If he keeps searching the scripture, he's going to find out. Oh, I've heard every argument. Amen. Every argument. But God still speaks through it all. I heard a man talking about tongues being recently to me. Tongues being just a sign. And it had to be in a discernible language. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They didn't hear Shandada Baho Shandada Baraka. They heard something in French. Amen. They heard something in their language, in other words. Whatever Syrophoenician, whatever it was, they heard it in Greek. They heard it in something other than Aramaic. These people came from all over with different dialects, but they heard them magnifying the Lord in their own tongue. It was a sign to the unbeliever. But that's not the only operation of tongues. Amen. When they said it has to be in a discernible language, I said, listen, the Bible said, oh yeah, let's talk Bible. Let's don't talk about your denominational denials. Let's talk about the scripture that you open and declare to be the inerrant word of God every Sunday. When a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he does not speak unto men. He speaks unto God. Can you say amen? I will pray with my understanding, but it won't stop there. I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. For the Spirit, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And when I pray in the Spirit, He prays according to the will of God that they are so vague about. They won't defer to the Holy Ghost, so they're in the dark most of the time. Nobody knows what God is up to. Nobody knows what He's going to do. So whatever comes down the pike, take it and embrace it. God sent it. No, my Bible said that Jesus was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing a few folk that He designed. No, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If there be any sick among you. Come on, we can't keep ripping James 5:14 out of the Bible while embracing John 3:16. One scripture has as much authority as the other. John 3:16 is the most important because it's about your enduring soul. But God didn't stop with your soul. If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Hallelujah. Why did he say that? Because they that are of the household of faith, Galatians says, are Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessing of faithful Abraham have come upon them. That's one of those tis or taint scriptures. It either tis or it taint. Can you say, man, it's true or it's a bald-faced lie? Well, it's the truth. It's in the inerrant word of God. Let's declare the whole counsel of God, not just the parts that fit our denominational persuasions. Oh, and by the way, while you're thinking of those denominational, nominal churches out there, honey, there's Pentecostal church. You know what Jesus said about a church and its name? Thou hast a name that lives. Your name represents life. But you dead. You dead. What happened in that graveyard on resurrection morning? Angels sitting up on that stone. He knew they were coming. He knew they were coming. He knew they were coming to anoint his dead body. And sure enough, they showed up. When they showed up, he had a word for them. I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He ain't in no graveyard no more. You ain't going to find him in the church of the frozen chosen. Can you say, man? You're going to find litany. You're going to find creed and catechism. And all those have a place, but they can't take his place. Can you say amen? You're going to find doctrine and dogma, and it has an important place, but it can't take his place. I like that camp meeting ditty of a song that has so much truth in it. Can't nobody. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. He's my friend. He's my friend. Glory be to God. This gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. They said, Lord, behold their threatenings and stretch forth thine hand to heal. Let signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they had prayed, the place wherein they were gathered began to shake. Just like that teapot and those teacups on that platter begin to shake as they were interceding. Hallelujah. Amen. When Jesus was on the cross, the whole earth began to shake and to quake. When God came down on the mountain, it began to shake. Can you say amen? And when God is able to move in his church like he wants to move in his church, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Going to shake up the pulpit. God's going to shake up the pew. God's going to shake up your family. Because God can't shape it up unless he can shake it up. Jesus come and shook up the religious system. Called him a generation of snakes and vipers. He really had a way with words. Amen. You clean up the outside, but on the inside, what's in there? Dead men's bones. Whited sepulchers. Oh yeah, they would whitewash that tomb and make it look pretty, but make no mistake about it, it was full of death. You can make it pretty all you want, but inside there's something dead. And that relationship with God and that religious system was dead. Amen. And there are people that are satisfied with a dead religion that they just refuse to turn loose of. It doesn't save. It does not save. Because if you get saved, you have to have a God encounter. If any man be in Christ, you are not put in there by joining that denomination or that church. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit into this church. It's the only way to get in it. Can you say, man, is be baptized in it by the Spirit of God? And if you're not in it by the Spirit of God, all the church roles in the world won't get you in it. Can you say, man? We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, you are a new creation. If you can go out and sin without any conviction, where you can sin without any chastisement, you are not God's child. I don't care where you went to church, how big your Bible is, how many scriptures you've got marked, you don't belong to him. He chastens every son that he receives. He scourges everyone. Can you say amen? Listen to me. If you were that chastisement and you're claiming salvation, you are a bastard and not a son according to the Word of God. And somewhere between here and eternity, you need to get right. And you need to get real. You say, preacher, I'm not coming back here. You can never say this side of hell that you didn't hear the truth. If you don't come back, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never forget what you're hearing here today. If you miss heaven because somebody doesn't tell you the truth, it won't be here. It happened. If you're lukewarm, God wants to shake us today. If the gospel came in power then, what changed? Well, now, the argument is we have the Bible. We have a book, an unverifiable book.
that tells us about an invisible God
that was written by men. We all know about people and how fallible they are. What made the book, what made it so authentic? What gave it authentication? They were inspired by the Spirit of God. But that, without confirmation, is not enough. That, without the Holy Spirit, is not enough. If it was, you just give people Bibles and we could transform the world.
That's why Paul said, when I gave you the word, I didn't come with just the enticing words of man's wisdom. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. See, it wasn't, there was something holy occurring. God said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where's the house you'll build to me? I hear preachers all the time raising money to do something for the glory of God. And it's always stone and steeple and stained glass. We need a building to worship in. But we don't, if we think we can make it ornate enough to impress God. God's investment's in people. I tell you, I'd move out of the most fancy church in this city to a gospel tent if God shows up and touches people and delivers people and saves people and sets people free. Whatever it takes, I want to be where God can move. And they say, this is all for the glory of God. This is all for the glory of God. Acts 14, we got to hurry and close. I don't know how to stop this service, but in Acts 14, Paul went down to Lystra, and there he preached the gospel. As he was preaching the gospel, and I want us to understand that healing and deliverance, answers to prayer to set people free, this is not something that is extraneous to the gospel. This is a part and parcel of the gospel. How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God? The Word of God. So Paul, using the Scripture, was preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And there sat a man that had never walked, another man that had never walked. The same heard Paul preach. As he was hearing the Word, what happens? Faith comes. So he must have been saying, not just that Jesus saves, but that Jesus delivers. Not just that Jesus saves, but Jesus heals. Not just that Jesus saves, but Jesus sets free. The gospel includes the whole man. Not just your spirit, but all of you. The same heard Paul preach what? The gospel. Who Paul steadfastly beholding him. Perceiving that he now had the faith to be healed. The what to be healed? The faith to be healed. Said unto him, rise up and walk. Jesus makes you whole. And he jumped up and walked. And the Bible said everyone in that community came to hear the gospel and came to Christ. That's why it didn't come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I was telling my wife the other day as I'm getting ready to close and we receive communion. We're judging ourselves by each other and other ministries and denominations, not by the standard of Jesus. I know a group of people used to be in church and at one point seemed like they tried to follow God. And I won't call their name, but they get comfort in the fact that each other are compromised. Compromising people want to be around people who are compromised because they are not convicted. Because they're doing it, he's doing it, she's doing it, they're doing it. Honey, you better get your... How's it work? I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How's it working out for them? How's that compromised life working out for them? Where's the power? Where's the victory? Where's the loyalty to Jesus? Where is the cross? You might want to change. Birds of a feather. Bible said there's some people you shouldn't eat with. You shouldn't have fellowship with. From such, the Bible says, turn away. Don't be mean. Don't treat them as an enemy. But admonish them as a brother. I can't go along with you when you're wrong, my brother. I love you, but you do wrong, I can't walk with you. Two can't walk together except they agree. And I'll never come into agreement with that that's going to damn or damage your soul. Birds of a feather, birds of a feather, birds of a feather. You'll find them consoling one another. You'll find them. And so one preacher put it this way. I love the way he put it. He said churches and whole denominations and individual Christians are like this. We're drifting from the truth that was once delivered. We're drifting from discipleship, from truly being followers of Christ. We're drifting. But in our little boat and ships that are drifting, whole denominational ships and individual boats are drifting. Drifting out to sea from the shore. And you know what we take comfort in? Every time we look to the right or to the left, we see other ships with us. He said you got to change your focus from what other people are doing, other denominations are doing. It's not how you are in relation to the other ships. It's how far you've drifted from the shore. Can you say amen? And if you've drifted too far from the shore, it's time to head back into a safe harbor. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. This is no time for denominational loyalty when denominations are tearing out pages of the book, throwing them in the garbage to accommodate sin that God calls an abomination and says will damn the human soul. This is no time for denominational loyalty. Can you say amen? I speak this as a prophet, not just a preacher today. This is no time for familial loyalty. If your family is going the wrong way, it's your soul. You need to go the right way. This is no time for loyalty with friends. Your friend ought to be Christ. You say, preacher, will I have to give up my flaky friends if I take a stand for Jesus? No, you will not. You take a stand for Jesus and they will give you up. Yes, they will. But God will take you in. God will embrace you. God will sustain you. God will cover you. God will save you. God will deliver you. And God will set you free. You get in this Bible, if you stay under a ministry that brings it to you, you're going to know the truth. Somebody asked me at work, back when I was bivocational some years ago, they asked me, doesn't the Bible say the truth will set you free? I said, no. You can take things out of context and throw them around out there and absolve yourself of any responsibility. John chapter 8, 30 and 31. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Not just here, not just intellectually, but you will know the truth experientially. You'll know the freedom. You'll know the victory. You'll know the power. You'll know the joy. You'll know the peace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I said no, here's what it said. If you continue in my word. Come on, you can't sit out here and don't go to church. You can't refuse Bible study. You can't never open the book. Amen. And call yourself continuing in the word. But if you continue in my word, you're going to run up against something called truth. Amen. And you will know the truth. When you apply it to your life, you will see that it works. The word works because God is true. Hallelujah. Amen. And you will know the truth experientially. And what happens then? Amen. The truth will set you free.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. It's the real deal. You got that song about the chains? We're going to do that at the end of communion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, the hour is late. The Bible said don't breathe. This is not about spirits, you know, that are in liquor alone. This is talking about spirits that's in the world. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. You know what that's about as we close? Jesus said, beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. There are people that are teetotalers, but they're so wrapped up in their job, their bills, their house, their boat, their motorcycle, and their jet ski. They don't have time to feed their spirit. They're drunk on the pleasures of this world. Self-indulgent people that see no purpose in Bible study, no purpose in the worship of God, no purpose in gathering together and having check and balances in the body. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. There are people sitting home watching a preacher that's watering down the word right now on television and calling that their religious responsibility fulfilled. They're watching it right now. Right now. I pick him for my preacher. I don't care about my brethren. This is what I want. And I got it on my terms. America is in trouble with God. And we need his blessing back. And we can't get his blessing back by quoting cute little faith formulas. We got to repent of our sin, turn from our wicked way, and return to God. You know what happened in the Welsh Revival when that place was shaking? When that place was shaking, people came under conviction, and suddenly, and in that culture, that bar, that was a meeting place as well as a drinking place. It's a center of community interaction. People came under conviction. They didn't even know where there was a preacher. This happened. This is God moving. This is not stone steeple, stonework, and backward collars and robes and cloistered choirs. This is not deacons and elders and preachers and apostles and prophets. It's getting hard to figure it out. Everybody's something way up the ladder. Hard to find a servant heart anywhere. Nobody to wash anybody's feet except Jesus. He must not have been high up the ladder. He'd have never stooped down and tried to do something that significant to help somebody. The most reverend, the right reverend, the prophetess. We got prophetesses running around. Can't do anything by example to represent the victory of God. They can show you what money can do when people throw it at them. But they can't show you a life that is working and representing the power and presence of Christ. That's another sermon. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Dead religion. And God wants to send a true revival. So they came out of the bars and they were convicted. But they needed somebody now that God had already prepared their heart. And there was no preacher and no church open. You know where they ended up? They ended up at the constable's office, the county constable, the sheriff, because they knew he was a Christian man. Here comes this crowd. They're not coming to lynch somebody. They're coming to get saved. And they told him,
Can you tell us what we need to do? What happened on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit, the power of God came? What happened? What must we do to be saved? What happened to the Philippian jailer? What happened? What happened? What happened when God shook the prison and the doors flew open? What must I do to be saved? Can you say, man, what happened at Lystra? They came and they got saved. Down at Sarin, another community, all who saw it got saved. When God moves, people get saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Talk about effective evangelism. Stir up that gift that's in us so God can confirm His word through us. Hallelujah. Lady who was at church in another area, she's coming home from church. She's in a carriage and she tells them to stop because there's a young man in the ditch all bent over and she thought he was hurt. So she stopped as a Christian lady. She got out and went and said, "Young man, can we help you in any way?" And when he turned around, it was her alcoholic son that she'd been praying for years to be delivered from alcohol. He was down in the ditch on his hands and knees, crying and weeping. And she says, "Oh, John, have you come to Christ?" And he says, "Yes, Mom, I have." Can you say, man, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes. When God comes down, when God comes down, when God comes down, when God comes down. Now, as we come to the end of this little message this morning, they prayed for a man to come and preach. They needed a preacher to come. Amen. They finally got one man who said he would come. If God is moving and people want Jesus, I'll come. He was delayed. He was to start the meetings that night. It's 10 o'clock at night when he finally arrived. It had been raining and storming. He was delayed. When he got there, he was getting ready to check into an inn, and they were waiting for him. And he said, "Well, I know you won't be having a service tonight. We'll start tomorrow night." And he said, "No, they're all at the church waiting." When God comes down, when God comes down, amen. And he went and began to preach, and he preached throughout. But who initiated the revival? That man and his gifts and his personality and his program? No, God did it. God answered intercessory prayer. God moved. Hallelujah. God moved by His Holy Spirit. So a man came to that preacher that was doing the preaching. We're always looking to a gifted man instead of God to do anything. And he met him on the sidewalk in that little town. And he said, "I want to know where the revival is. I'm so hungry for God. Can you tell me where the revival is?" In other words, give me the location. Let me get it set on my GPS, my God positioning system. Can you say amen? My satellite system. Where's the revival occurring? He said, "You really, really serious about revival?" The young man said, "Yes, I am, sir." He took a piece of chalk, gave it to the man. He said, "I want you to draw a circle all around yourself." I don't know if you're ready to do that today or not. Draw a circle around yourself and totally consecrate everything in that circle to God. Give everything you are, everything you have to God. And sir, you will find the revival. You'll find the revival when you let God have all of you. Amen. Because a man don't pack it around in his back pocket or his Bible or his briefcase. This is a matter for the heart. I want this man to be totally consecrated to God. What's left of my life, I want him to have it. Can you say, man, I don't want to play church one Sunday to try to get somebody to think about whether or not you're going to come back or not. If you have to think about it, don't bother. God must not be sending you here. Can you say, man? Can you say, don't bother?
I mean, there's dime a dozen. They're all over the place. And they're just like Burger King. Any way you want it, somebody's got it like you want it. You don't want conviction? That's fine, honey. Come right on in. You can have it your way. Hold the pickle. Hold the lettuce. I'm on a diet. Don't put no cheese on that burger. Amen? Hold the mustard. Hold the ketchup. I'm allergic. Okay, we don't have no pickle, no lettuce. Oh, the tomatoes kind of like the ketchup, so hold it too. Hold the onion. I want to kiss my baby tonight. Amen? Hold the onion. In fact, there's too much fat in that burger. Hold the meat. Now you're down to the bun, honey. There's no protein now. It don't even taste good. So you know something? Since it's bread and it's white bread and it's not even wheat bread and there's no nutrition in it, why don't we just hold the bread? In fact, here's $5.97 for letting me have it my way. Your sugar level going to drop. You're going to get sick and get diseased because you ain't got no protein, no food in your belly. But guess what? You got it your way. Oh, I want the meat. I want the meat of the word. I want my soul. I want something I can chew on Sunday. I want that preacher to say something that I go home, get in this word. One time I preached something in here and Terry told me, said, I've been looking up that word in the scripture. I've been looking up that word. And I thought, you go, you go, you go, you keep going. That's what we want to stimulate in here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, our time is almost gone. It's time for Holy Communion in just a moment. Thank you, Father. This morning, let's make a commitment in this communion service to pursue the Lord. If you don't know where He wants you, pray and find out where He wants you. Make some kind of commitment somewhere. Don't be like those other ships that are drifting from the shore. This is about you, your household, your family, your future, your victory or your defeat. Amen. And you got to make choices. You got to make choices. You got to make choices. Everybody has to make choices. Brother Venable, don't you need people? Yes, I do, but I need committed people. Amen. Amen. I need committed people. Because God just will not send revival to a church with uncommitted people, or a person, or a household. He requires that. I will not lower the standard to have a head count on Sunday. Amen. The Lord added to the church such as should be saved. People that God's Spirit was moving on. Remember I told this gentleman here, you know, something about 150 people, we'd have to make room. If we had 150 people, we'd have to push this out and make room. And I said, but if we had 150 people, suddenly, you said it right. You've been around church a while. He said, you have 150 more headaches. Well, I would if it's just 150 heads in a building without any hearts for Christ. But if people have a heart for the Lord and their soul is being fed and they commit themselves to this ministry, God's going to bless them here. And not only is God going to bless them, God's going to bless us through them so that we can do more for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So it's a win-win when you make a real commitment to follow Jesus Christ and you follow through with your commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. How many believe it's all right to call for a commitment to follow Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you for your amen.
We're going to receive Holy Communion right now. Make a commitment in your heart. Let God stir your soul. Hallelujah. We want to see these kids moved on. We want to see souls saved. We want the Lord to draw people. And we want to be instruments so He can. Would you please serve us today?